We're gonna get to the meat and taters, y'all. Ms. Tara's gonna introduce our first speaker. You didn't love me short.
You bet I'm fun size, not short.
Hi, I'm an addict named Tara.
Hi, Tara.
Finally get to stand up here and introduce somebody. And it's only because I'm a part of her life and she's definitely been a big part of mine. I couldn't make a whole meeting out of telling you all about this lady right here, but I can truly say that she has lived this life of this program. She keeps loving me until I can love myself. She's very passionate about this program. There's many sayings and many jokes, because I'm a joker, that I say all the time, but I'll tell you, there's ever since I asked her to be my sponsor for the very first time, which I burned out on, and I didn't hear what I heard was when I called her, I started off texting her, and I'd be like, just checking in, you know, because it's that awkward phone call shit. But I said, I'm just checking in, and then when I call her and I ask her something, something's going wrong, and she'd be like, pray about it. And every time I call her, pray about it. I finally called her, I was like, I already fucking prayed about it, tell me what to do. You know, like, damn. And, you know, shortly after that, I stopped calling, I stopped doing the program, you know, because I was new to it anyway, and I relapsed, obviously. But looking back on it today, I share that part of my story because, like, whether she knew it or not, she was trying to get me to go to my higher power first, you know. So that meant a lot in my life today. It keeps me taking that next step. And many of the sayings that stuck in my head have come from this lady right here. And I truly believe that, like she'll tell you that, you know, outside of here, we probably wouldn't be friends. But the fact that we're in here and she's my go-to. And I hope that she shares, I mean, she's always shared a clean, true message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm grateful to be a part of her recovery as well as she is for mine. And she's a good reason why I keep coming back. So I don't want to hold y'all up because hopefully she'll share some shit that'll stick in y'all's head for the rest of y'all's recovery. It's Judy. This is Judy.
I'm an addict. My name's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
I'm going to take a moment and ask my higher power to come in and move me out of the way because I feel like if I share from my own will, I'll probably fuck a bunch of people up in here. So I'm going to let the God of my understanding share for me, through me. So just give me a moment. Again, I'm an addict. My name's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
So I don't know what I'm going to share, but what I know is that I had forgotten all about I was supposed to do this workshop until yesterday. Somebody said, aren't you doing a workshop? And I'm like, no. Oh, am I? Because I totally forgot about it. So I'm kind of glad I did, and I didn't have time to sit around and research and try to figure out what all I wanted to tell y'all. And then last night I was still looking at shit on the, you know, trying to figure out what I'm going to share about. One program, many miracles. I'm like, what can I share on that? And I thought, fuck, your life has been one program, many miracles. So I'm not going to hold up the God of my understanding. I'm going to let him share. So before I get started, though, I do want to say something. I had I've been trying to get my daughter committed into treatment, and she's been using for a long time, so on the way up here, her father and I was coordinating having her assessed and having her committed. And right after I introduced Cassie in her workshop, I had to go out and call the lady and tell her to go ahead and arrest my daughter so we can get her into treatment and possibly save her life. So if I cry a little bit or if I get a little bit emotional, that's probably why. So we're talking about one program, many miracles. And so I was looking up some things, and there's certain things that stand out to me. And I got thinking, well, what is one program? And I was thinking about it, and it's a spiritual program. That's the best way I can explain it. And then I looked up, there's some dates in my life that are very important. September the 15th is very important to me. That was the day I got clean. And the title of the Just for Today meditation for that day is Feeling the Emptiness. The day I went into treatment was October the 11th, and the title of that one is Emptiness and Eyeglasses and Attitudes. My birthday, the day I was born, is Sharing the Real Me. And so as I was reading those and I was trying to figure out what am I going to share about, I looked at the Just for Today meditation at the bottom of it. So for September the 15th, it was Just for Today. I will view the world and my life through the clean spiritual lenses of my program. October the 11th. Just for today, I choose to live in the fullness of recovery. I will celebrate my conscious contact with the God of my understanding by freely sharing with others that which has been freely shared with me. And I didn't read the other one. But anyway, and then if you look at Just for Today meditation for today, it's a very fitting Just for Today meditation. And this is not, I think the title of it is This is Not a Test. But as I got down to the bottom part, it said, I will have faith that my higher power's will for me is good and that I am loved. I will seek my higher power's help in times of need, which is very fitting for today because today is definitely a day I need my higher power to show up. And I remember I was sitting there thinking, I told another addict just before I came in here, I am so grateful that I am here at Out of the Darkness. And I've been coming here since 2013. I was in treatment in 2011, 2012. I didn't get to come. 2013, I've been coming Out of Darkness since 2013. This convention changed my life. And I can't say that enough because there's a whole lot of other conventions, and I'm sure if that was my first convention, that would have been the one that should change my life too. I actually discovered that I had been seeking this feeling my whole life. And I found it sitting in a damn seat at a convention. And my heart went to beating and it went to racing. And I had that y'all, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love the feel of that heart racing and, you know, the blood's pumping and you get that little nerve. Like, I love that. And when I found that sitting in the room of Narcotics Anonymous amongst a bunch of addicts just like me, I was like, I have arrived. Like, I have found a fucking place to be. So, I don't know really what all is going to come out my mouth, but I hope and pray that somebody in here, it will touch them and they will see that no matter what, if you work this program, you don't have to get high. Matter of fact, if you work this program, your decisions might even get fucking better. I cuss a lot too, by the way, so if y'all don't have a sponsor, get one if it bothers you, because I probably am going to cuss a little bit. That's just who I am, I guess. I don't know. I tried not to do it one time. It was the worst 2 days of my life. But, you know, the program is that, you know, this is a program. It's a spiritual program. It's a program that says that if you come in here and you develop some spiritual principles. I heard a woman say one time that I have to practice spiritual principles, but one day I'll be able to live them. And I think today, to the best of my ability, I live spiritual principles today. I know I'm a person of integrity. I know that I'm honest. I know I'm willing because, like, they'll be saying, can you come speak? And I'm like, fuck, yes, I will. I do a lot of the things that I was taught in these rooms. You know, I was taught to be honest, to be open, to be willing, to do all these things. And, you know, they were talking about this being a spiritual program. And, you know, we kind of live in the South around here. So when you say spiritual, everybody thinks religion. And then I feel like the Antichrist when I tell you guys, no, it's not that. Because it's not. You know, what I know is that I came in when I was in treatment, just to give a little background, when I was in treatment, the woman that became my first sponsor worked there, and she gave me some suggestions, and she told me to do this and to do that, and, you know, what happened was I had some kind of an awakening. And I really, thinking back now, my awakening was way before I got into treatment. I remember laying on an old mattress, nasty ass, fucking hot, no air conditioner, no nothing, and me screaming out saying, God, help me. I don't know why you hate me. You won't let me die. Like, it took me back to that moment. So I think my awakening actually started there. But when I got into treatment, November the 30th, 2011, I turned 40 years old in a treatment facility, and I said, what the hell am I doing here? I have nothing to show. I have no vehicle, I have no license, I have no home, I have nothing. Like, I mean, I have kids, but they're not really mine. They're borrowed, you know, from a God of my understanding. He allowed me to borrow these two children. And no education. I dropped out 10th grade, all the things. And somebody said, you know, you've got to work this program. And I remember them talking about the four-step, and I said, I'm not doing that. No, I already know what's wrong with me. We ain't got to tell it to nobody. I ain't got to write that shit down. I ain't got to do none of that. And somebody said, Judy, if you don't work these steps and if you don't work them in order, you're going to die. You're going to relapse and you're going to die. And what happened is I started listening. Something happened on that November the 30th when everybody stood up in that rehab and sung happy birthday to a fucking addict like me. They had nothing. The clothes on my back. And I had been on my own since I was 15, and I had shit at one point in time. I've been using off and on. I think my very first drink was when I was about 5 years old. And, you know, I had a program for many years. And it was the getting and the using and finding ways and means to get more. That was the program that stopped working. That was the program that the state of Mississippi said, we need to manage your life for you because you can't. And they gave me an opportunity to spend either 50 years in prison or do some drug court and some 5 years probation. I said, okay, let me weigh this shit out. I'll go to treatment. So, because, you know, I knew if I got on drug court, I would have to. And during that time in that treatment facility, I heard a lot of things, and a lot of people helped me along the way, and I was able to grab some hope from some people who were in recovery who worked there that, believe it or not, had a fucking education now, and they was working with other people like me. They had their kids back. They had jobs. They had money. They had and it's not about the stuff. These people, I've seen them get up there and share, like, through, like, if there was a picture in the dictionary for empathy or compassion, like, these people's faces would have been there. And so I said, okay. And I got in there, and I don't know if y'all listen, my sponsor now, Valerie, was doing a workshop, and she talked about this man who gave her a ride to these meetings. That very same man gave me a ride to many, many meetings after I got out of treatment. But what I did is they told me, like, you've got to get out, you've got to get you a home group, you got to get you a sponsor, you got to work these steps, pray, meditate. And I wasn't going to pray to shit. Because that God that I had, what had not been, had done nothing for me, in my opinion, and in my experience, and the way I seen it. But I'd done all these things, and I called that man, and I said, I need a ride to a meeting. And the next night, I wasn't going to go, and he called me and said, you need a ride? I said, yeah. And I started going with him, and I started listening to everybody else. And when I would go to these meetings, and I would hear them talking about this God of restoration, I was like, fuck y'all. What has that guy got to restore me to? I had nothing, you know. Through this program, I developed an understanding of the God of my understanding. I got a new concept of that God today. Am I religious? I am not a religious person. I'm very spiritual. I do believe in going to my higher power. I believe going to other addicts in times of need. When I mentioned that, I had that phone call during Cassie's workshop. When I come back in the door, many of y'all probably know JW. And I met JW on the doors when I come back in the building, and he sat and he talked to me, and he shared this story about a flower and some sun and all that shit, and then I thought, fuck, I know what I got to do. And I went back outside, and I called that woman. I said, you know, you need to go ahead and arrest her. And I knew that, and then I, you know, I cried. But I cried to other addicts in these rooms that held me and let me cry and showed me that they loved me and that it was going to be okay. And that I, you know, there's a quote, and I don't remember which book it's in. I'm not much of a quoter. I have a few. But it talks about if it's spiritual, it's practical. Is that right? Is that the way it goes? Something like that? I believe this is spiritual. And I believe that today, because I'm going to tell you something, there's got to be something greater than me. There's got to be a spiritual connection to something. Because out of all the years that I've been clean, I don't know that I could have stayed clean if I hadn't have kept coming back and getting in these meetings, going to these conventions, talking to a sponsor, having other people in my network. You know, it talks about the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. So I do know a few quotes.
Yeah.
And I have a broad base. I've got so many damn numbers in my phone. And I don't want to make this about, you know, my daughter and stuff, because this is supposed to be about one program, right? Many miracles. My daughter has seen me work this program for so long that, you know, she can't even look at me. And that's sad and it hurts, but it also makes me proud too, because I know she knows where the fuck to come to. I know that she knows where it's at. I don't know. I'm saying so I may be talking out of my own cell, out my own ass now. But anyway, I'm going to say this. If you're in this room and you don't have a program, get one. And if you don't know what the program is, let me tell you this. It's going to start with you just doing the next right thing, going to meetings, going to conventions, calling a sponsor, working some steps. And one of these days, you'll start applying the spiritual principles. And to me, that's the fucking program. I can sit here and tell you spiritual principles all day long. Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, service, all the damn things, all the damn spiritual principles. But until you start applying them to your life, you will probably not see the benefits of this program. That may be my opinion. So y'all can take that or leave it. It talks about many miracles. And when I sit in this room, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many people's in this room? There's your miracles. If y'all just take a look around the room, there's the miracles. Because I promise you, if you were still using this, is probably the last fucking place you want to be, sitting in a damn room listening to me tell you about a damn program and some miracles. The miracle is that I can look in the mirror today and I'm still clean. The miracle is that I get to come in here and sit in a room and tell you that my heart is fucking breaking. And I'm still standing up here fulfilling the commitment that I said I was going to do. The miracle is that an addict like me hasn't used since September the 15th, 2011. The miracle is... The miracle is that I got a job in recovery back in 2013. I worked that job for almost 11 fucking years. What the fuck? I don't do that. You know, I work, get a paycheck. You know what I mean? I'm out the door. Give me that money. The miracle is that I started working in the recovery field because I fucking love y'all. I couldn't have said I loved anybody. I'd have told you that till you gave me what I needed. The miracle is that the God of my understanding seen fit that I got to go back to school. So as high school dropout, started college. Well, I started in 2012, and that there were some instances that happened, and I couldn't fulfill that. And I thought, well, I'm never going to get to go to college. I'm never going to become the therapist that I want to be. And then in 2019, I had a friend who is also no longer with us tell me about this school she was going to, and I got into school. And I said, God, I'm going to have to pay for this because now I make too much fucking money to get some FAFSA grants. So I can't afford that, right? But I prayed and I said, God, if this is your will for me, like, you'll make sure that this happens. And so I enrolled in school and I completed my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I enrolled in master's program, and I went in for social work. And right before I completed that, I got an email from the school I went to get my bachelor's degree, and it said, all of your student loans have been forgiven because there's a discrepancy on the school side of it, and so God wiped out.
Wow.
Whew. Over $30,000 debt for me. This shit's still giving me fucking chills. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that it's me. It's a miracle that there's somebody that wants to hear what I have to share. It's a miracle that I get to take my past experiences and I get to give that to somebody else to help them through theirs. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I first come in this program, I doubted it. Let me tell you what happened. The first time I went to a meeting, I was 26 years old, and a friend of mine took me to this meeting, and I picked up Am I an Addict? And I read it, and I said, I'm probably an addict. But Friday night came around, and so I was not an addict anymore. I didn't get clean now, y'all, until I was 39, right? Well, I went into treatment at 39. I can definitely tell you that I can answer yes to all those questions on am I an addict today. It took what it took, right? Took what it took. I look back. I lost track. I was going to tell y'all another story, but I guess I forgot where I was going with that. But, when I went to my first meeting, right before I went into rehab, I went to this meeting and I said, I'm not going back. No, I shared in the group. Everybody was sharing, right? And so it got around to me and I shared. All I hear is, I lost my wife, I lost my dog, I lost my job. Like this, if I got to sit around and feel pity for myself, what the fuck am I doing here? This ain't going to help me. So let me tell you, if you've ever had to experience that, if you will just try to listen to the message instead of the problem, you might find something in this program that's going to help you. I will say, you know, I just got the 5-minute mark, so now I done got nervous again. I don't know that I have anything to share to anybody, but I'm going to tell you that even in my worst time, since I've came into recovery, I have seen a lot of things and been through a lot of shit in my recovery, and it has not been easy. And anybody that has been with me through this journey of my recovery will tell you I have come in here, bitch, moan, scream, complain, cuss folks out, told them they was foolish, all the things. But the one thing that I continue to do, and I still do today, is I kept coming back to the rooms. I kept reaching out to the people. I sat in rooms with people I didn't fucking like, because you know what? I almost died to get to a fucking seat in here. So there ain't nobody gonna come in here and run me out because I have a problem with them. This is my program. This is my life. This is my home. And I can be at home anywhere I go. If I sit down in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I'm there. I don't know if I shared about the program. I don't know if I shared about the miracles. But before I get off this stage, I want everybody to stand up and look at each other and give yourself a hand for being a miracle for me. Thank you, and I love you.
That was awesome. Oh man, I just seen some people. I know now. At this time, Martez is going to introduce our next speaker.
My name is Martez, and I'm a miracle.
Hey,
I'm coming to introduce a guy who means a lot to me. He's my sponsor, and he's a miracle as well. And he's the one that ignited my recovery. He's a dude that we're more like brothers now. You know, you don't have to like your sponsor. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes I cuss him. Who the fuck he think he is telling me I'm wrong? Not to his face. His ass is big. I mean, I got a little sense now. But we're more like brothers. He'll call me. I'll call him. And he's truly showed me the sponsorship is a two-way street. And sometimes it's humbling when your sponsor reaches out to you and wants to talk to you about some things. But he has so many qualities. But the number one quality that stands out about Ryan is his service. He is a H&I monster. He tricked me into doing damn H&I. And he's tricked me into fucking tearing down a house to fucking be a sober living house. He's tricked me into all kind of shit. Dope man tendencies. I still got dope user tendencies. But this guy, he has so many qualities. It's truly a privilege to have him in my life and to be able to sit beside him. He introduced me earlier, and I get to introduce him now. He's a brother that I love. There's no other way around it. I love this dude. This one of them dudes that if push came to shove, hell, me and him going to be back to back on that ass because I love him that much. He has a lot to say. He knows what he's talking about. He just recently picked up 11 years, but he still can't count. He still can't count. When I picked up 3 years, he gave me a damn 2-year medallion.
Snitching.
Motherfucker talking about snitching. He tried to put one off on me, but he forgot. He taught me to think and shit. Y'all, without further ado, I give you my brother, my sponsor, Ryan N.
Go. My name's Ryan. I'm an addict. What's up, everybody? I feel like this is too low, but we like mics anyway. But you know, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you, Martez, for the introduction, and thank you, Terry and Judy. I actually heard them speak at the Surrender Convention, and she was talking about her sponsor. I think that's where I met really both of y'all then. And so, yeah, I know that Tara is actually a miracle. I heard her story, and a lot of shit she said was. I'm like, that's the stories of recovery that I like to hear, because if I didn't hear the addicts that I got high with sharing in the way that they use it, how we got high, I wouldn't believe it. You know, it's hard for me to picture the way that that I used, being able to somebody to be able to quit using and then actually have a good life that they enjoy. You know, that was the thing. I never heard of that. I didn't even know that was a possibility. I never heard of Narcotics Anonymous ever, you know. I had been in, I'm from Madison, Huntsville area, really. I'm not born there, but I was an Army brat, and so I moved around a little bit comparatively for an Army brat. But, you know, in 92 is when I moved to Huntsville, and then in 95 is when I moved to Madison, and that's really when I started using. I mean, you know, like she shared, you know, I had my first drink, I think, at 4, you know, something like that. And I remember that day and that time and that experience. And just, you know, it was my dad's beer in the backyard at the house on the military base. And I loved it, you know, and I always was looking for the next time I could get another drink, you know. And that's how, you know, military families grow up. That's the environment. And I never had an alcoholic father. I never had an alcoholic mother, you know. I had family that drank, and they didn't, you know, they drank on the events, you know, like holidays and stuff, and I'm always over there sneaking in the liquor cabinet and looking in the pill cabinet, trying to make a combination that's going, you know, give me a good holiday, and did, you know, but also had another side of the family. I had this, both of my family is from Northeast Arkansas, which is country as hell, right? And so one lived in the city and one lived in the country, but they both lived in the country. But you know, that's how I would relate the city and the country. And so my country side of the family, my papa was a truck driver and a dope man, you know, and my grandma wasn't. She, you know, she was in the house cooking. And I had 10, my mom had, you know, 9 brothers and sisters, and a lot of them used, and some of them didn't. And so, you know, I had this experience. Like, I got some family with mental illness. Like, a couple of my uncles have mental illness, and they use drugs early. And one of my uncles was super crazy, right? Like, you just laughing like the Joker all the fucking time for no reason. Fuck, okay. You know? But he used, and they're like, oh, yeah, he damn fucked himself up when he was real young. He did burn himself up. But you know, and then eventually when I started using, I went to his house, and we go hang out and use together, you know. And I'm hanging out, just thought he was just crazy Uncle Keith, you know. Shit, he wild as hell, but he was a good person, you know. And so, you know, I just had those experiences. Like, I didn't know, you know, I grew up military, so I had no outside perspective. We didn't live in society. We lived in the military society, so there was no people getting high and shit around us. And, you know, there was no racism, and there was no anything. We just, hell, I didn't know, you know what I mean, until I moved around, got a little older. I'm like, oh, okay, this is what the fuck's going on out here in civilian world, as they call it, you know, civilian world. So I don't know, I just had a real small perspective. But when I moved to Huntsville, I went to middle school in Huntsville, and then, you know, moved to Madison, and I'm like, man, I'm, you know, the people in my neighborhood that I met, the kids, they were smoking weed. And so I'm like, let me try that, you know. And that was my first experience. Like, I had some family issues at that time. Like, my dad was always gone, you know. He was serving the military. He's a retired colonel when he retired, and he's a retired colonel, whatever. But you know, my dad was always gone, so my mom was always having an issue with that, you know. And it was just my mom and us, and he was gone, and he was serving the damn country, you know. But it was causing a problem. So when that started going on, and they stayed together, you know, and everything. But I'm like, I get the fuck out of here, you know. I'm not gonna be dealing with all this strife and bullshit. And so that was my escape, right? That was my escape I found, and that was my way into finding into, you know, the people in the community in high school. And so that became my identity, you know. I started using every chance I got then, and then you know, I started going to, like, well, now I'm going to sneak out and use it, right? And then I'm going to go, then I'm like, you know what, hell, I had a motorcycle when I was that young. I was selling drugs on a little motorcycle. I'm 14, 15 years old, you know, and I'm riding around Madison City. And that was my whole life. Like, that, I didn't want to live another way, you know, honestly. Like, I'm like, man, this is it. I love this, you know, being able to go out and hang out and party and shit. And you know, I just didn't understand, like, that military lifestyle that I grew up in. I'm like, I don't want to live like that, you know. It's a good life, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, man, I'm not getting up at 5 in the morning, working till damn 5 in the afternoon or later, and having being told what the fuck to do all day. Not doing that, you know. Not doing that. And you know, thank God I didn't, because I probably would have been in a whole lot more trouble in the Army if I would have went into the Army, because I got in a whole lot of trouble, you know, moving on. Like, you know, I didn't graduate high school. I quit high school 3 times. I kept trying to make something work that wasn't working, you know. They would get to this point and they'd go, man, I'm like, yeah, it's time for me to quit, you know. And the last time that I quit, I just went up to the principal. I said, you know, this is not going to work out, don't you? He's like, it's not. I said, thank God, let me sign the paperwork and let's go. And so, you know, like I said, that became my whole identity, was the drug life culture. And, you know, and I loved it, you know, I did love it. It wasn't a problem as big of then as it ended at the end of the road. You know, I'm 44 now. I got clean at 34. And, you know, it took me from 14 to 34 to get to the end of my road, you know. And if I really had taken a real good look at it, I was at the end of the road way before I hit 34, you know. I was not a good criminal, but I was a persistent criminal, you know. So I got in a lot of damn trouble, you know. You know, you get caught 1% of 10,000 times. That's a whole lot of damn times, you know. And I got caught a lot. I've been in jail 23 times, you know. And at the end of all this, I'm like looking like, man, this is just, you know, this is not working out. I finally got to go to rehab, because I would finesse my way into probation and suspended sentences and stuff like that. And then, you know, I'm like, man, I remember the first time, I'm like, all right, I'm quitting, you know. And when I quit, I was miserable. I hated it. I hated it so bad, because all I ever did was get high, run around town, sell drugs, go to the club, maybe get my kid every other weekend, maybe, you know. And then I just stopped. And I went and moved in with my now kid's mother, which I'm married now. I'm not with her. But, you know, I remember she was like, just come stay with me. And I'm like, fuck, you know, I don't do it's a bad idea. So I did that, and I just would sit at the house, you know. I'm like, I just caught fresh fail. And he said, how the hell am I going to get a job? You know, I couldn't see that being possible. So I just sat at the house. And, man, I just blew up like a house, and I was just miserable. And I just remember sitting on the front porch smoking cigarettes going, this is fucking horrible. You know, I hated it. And you know, I didn't stay clean. Like, I just would quit using long enough to go to probation, right? And then I go to probation, and that day I'm getting high. You know, and then I'm like, all right, well, I can get high this day or whatever. And then, you know, it would go to this Wednesday or, you know, and then it's this Saturday. And then, you know, before you know it, I lasted about, I don't know, a year and a half or something on probation. And then, you know, when life hits, and I'm already, you know, I never had a program, like I said. And, you know, we had gotten this big tornado, like the tornadoes of 2011 happened, and we lost our home and was in the house when the tornado hit. And, you know, I was fine, you know, but she wasn't fine. And she's, you know, she really just lost it. Everything she had was lost and everything. And so that's when I started using in a different way. You know, I had to put the selling, you know, the dealing down and started back working and all that stuff. But this happened, and then I'm just like, man, what the fuck, you know. I ended up losing my job because I had to quit my job or face charges because there was a drug ring apparently happening in the workplace that it was me, you know. And they're like, who did it? And I'm like, shit, I ain't telling on my damn self today, you know. Not today. And you know, so I'm like, you know, all right, I quit, you know, let's go. And that just, you know, from then on, I'm like, you know what, this is not meant for me, right? Like, this, you know, having a job and all this stuff. Like, I went to college and got a 2-year degree, which took 6 years to get a 2-year degree, you know, at a community college. And I'm just like, you know what, fuck this, you know, I just went back to it, you know. Every time for me, I went back to what I knew and what I was comfortable with, you know. It was a no-brainer for me what I can do, and instantly back into the same situation. And so I call myself the comeback king, right? Go to jail, get out, do it again. Go to, you know, I'm gonna do it till I go to jail and get out and do it again. And you know, I would rack up, you know, so many felonies by the time I go to court. They're like, well, hell, you got five of the same one. Take one, you know. I'm like, deal, you know. So. You know, but I would get, you know, I got 3 felony convictions now, and that's a miracle because of the fact that I've had 33 felony charges, you know. And at the end of it, you know, I violated that probation. I got I ended up going like a 45-day dump. I'm in there in jail. I'm like, man, this, I gotta quit. You know, you're like, oh man, I gotta do right this time. I gotta figure it out. I get out and I'm like, I don't know what to damn do. You know, had all these best intentions and thoughts and ideas. And then, like, you know, in jail, the pastor would come in and fire and brimstone, and I'm like, fuck that, you know, I'm not trying to hear that. And he actually was talking crazy to me one time, and I said, man, the best thing you could do is get out my face. That's what you could do. You better walk on somewhere. So, you know, I had been to like an AA meeting with my ex-girlfriend one time. She got on probation. I had to go sit in there with her till she got done a couple times so we could go to the bar afterwards, you know. But there was no recovery in my life, and I just really had no idea what to do. Now I had a father that was a perfect example of what it is to be a man and a provider for his family and a father. But, you know, I couldn't take what he was showing me and using it for myself. Right? I can't. And still, like, to this day, like, you know, I have to do my path in life. Like, his path in life was his path in life and how he lived. And so, you know, but I would get out. I would get high again. You know, within a matter of days, if not minutes, and I would go right back. And so that cycle just repeated, you know, until one day I, you know, ended up where they put no bond on me. And I had never heard of a no bond. I'm like, no bond? Like, what? There's such a no bond? I can't even make a bond? They're like, I'm going to prison. So, you know, and I just had accepted that. Like, you know, one of the miracles in my story was the fact that I went to revocation hearing with a whole bunch of stuff. I had been on the run again and caught with guns and drugs, and everybody in the courtroom that day went to prison except for me. And when they saved me for last because my lawyer was bullshitting so I could be the last person to go. And you know, And he walked in the room, and he's like, you know, Your Honor, this is one of my personal friends. Is there anything we can do to help him? You know, his father's this man or whatever in the community and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, go out and talk to the DA, see what you can do. And that was the same DA that told me in front of him, we were standing in court when I got sentenced one time, next time, sending your ass to prison, boy. You know, I'm like, so that was, you know, that was a miracle that I had gotten in. And if I had taken that, you know, that miracle and used it and whatever and never used it again, that would have been great. But that's just not my story, right? Like, my story is I didn't go that day. The probation officer was hooting and hollering and going crazy. Like, you know, it's the only one with the recommendation to go to prison. And she's telling him to sit down and shut up. And I'm like, yeah, sit down and shut up so I can go to rehab, you know. And I did, and I did a, you know, I did like a 14 months in a faith-based program, and you know, when I got there, I hated it. It was everything in me just to stay. I'm like, God, I don't want to be here, you know, this is horrible. It was super strict, and it's called Teen Challenge. I don't know if y'all heard of that, but fucking Teen Challenge is a trip, but they introduced me to some people that really was there for the right reason, you know, and I would like to say I stayed clean. I didn't. I used in the program on my passes. You know, and when I graduated, I went back to it, you know, and I graduated the program, you know, which is crazy, but I used all my, you know, abilities in active, you know, in addiction and being, you know, who I was to finesse my way through the damn program, you know, and that's hard to do there, you know, but I did, you know, I did it and I finessed myself into a hell of a time in 2014. When I got out, I never had gave up drinking, you know, even though I had relapsed in the program and was using there. And I'm like, man, I at least got to quit doing that, you know. But when I got, I'm like, I'm still going to drink. You know, this is not going to be, it's just drinking, you know. Little did I know that, and I knew I was a raging alcoholic, but I didn't know. I'm like, oh, this is going to take me back down the same road. And so when I got out, I didn't have anybody to go back to. I was back home with my family, you know. Living comfortably, had a car, had a damn allowance as a grown man, you know, and blew it. You know, I blew that, and I, you know, I was just like, hey, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do now? I would rather have went back to the program, you know, where I had some friends, had some good people surrounding me, you know, I wasn't around my family, you know, and I was, you know, productive and doing stuff. And but what I didn't get from that program, even though it's a great program, don't get me wrong, they showed me and taught me so much, I didn't get the recovery aspect. The recovery community wasn't there. It was at that program, in that facility, at that location, you know. And I didn't know how to get out and get into the community and meet people. So I went back to the people I knew using, you know. And so, needless to say, I caught 14 more felonies in 2014, you know. I would go in, I violate. They would let me out to go to rehab because they knew I could complete a program, right? And I'll get out and fuck it up, you know. And I'll go back, and I'm like, man, you know. So I'm doing these, you know, 4 months one time, 2 months another time. And the last time, you know, what I knew was this. If you let me out of jail, I'm going to get high, and I'm going to do the same shit again, and I'm going to be back in this motherfucker with more felonies. And the last time they had let me out, I was supposed to have a bed at a place, and they were like, well, we don't have a bed for you. I'm like, what the fuck? Why'd you get me out? You should have just left me there. You know, I was fine. I was fine, you know. And because that's where I knew I was at. So, you know, I just, and I just had lost hope. I'm like, either I need to level the fuck up as a real criminal and dad gonna figure out how to do this for real, you know, and not get caught, or I just need to go to prison and learn the hard way, you know. And I accepted that. That was just my truth. I'm like, man, this y'all just do me. So I don't even want to go back to that program. Just send me to prison. I'm fine, you know. I'll be fine. And so, you know, the God of my understanding had better plans for me. And you know, that end of that whole deal, my family got me into a treatment program down in South Florida. When I went to court, you know, my dad had pulled some strings with some friends of his and all kind of, you know, different stuff. And when I went to court, the DA comes in the courtroom and goes, Ryan, the judge went for it. In front of everybody walking in the door. And I'm like, hell yeah, he did. You know, let's go. Well, you know, when you sit down with my lawyer is one of my friends. You know, I've known my lawyer since early 2000s, and he's been, you know, had my back the whole way. For whatever reason, I don't know. You know, he's one of the people that God put in my life to help keep me, you know, save me, and, and do what, you know, live the life I'm living now. So I try to remember that. You know, he stuck his neck out for me once again, and I've honored that. Now, I did get high when I got out of jail, you know, but in that courtroom, the judge was like, you're going to get 15 years, son, day for day. I mean, the DA was, I'm going to have to give you 15 years day for day if you fuck this up. And I said, you ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about that. That's not going to happen this time. And so, you know, I used as soon as I got out of jail, that, you know, right after that. And I went to a program in Florida, and, you know, I just decided, like, I actually used for about a week before I went into that program. I told them, just give me a damn break. Let me get this out of my system, and I'll do whatever the hell y'all want me to do, you know. And that's what happened, you know. Since then, I haven't used again, February 2nd of 2015. And so that's a miracle for me, you know. That's a miracle for me. You know, little did I know that what was in front of me was 12-step recovery, right? And the rehab that I went to, it was very open. You know, it was very, you could have your cell phone, you could go to meetings, they'll let you go walk to the daggum gym, and they'll take you to the beach and shit. And I needed that, you know, honestly, like, I needed to see that. Like, oh, this is, so we could actually enjoy ourselves without drugs, you know, because I couldn't see that. I could never see, how are we going to have fun without dope? That didn't work for me. Like, there was no, I didn't equate that. Even though I wasn't having fun in the end, you know, I wasn't having fun when I was 145 pounds going into the county jail with winter clothes on, you know, wearing the same polo boots I got on now with full jackets, and, you know, I'm 220 right now. But, you know, it was just hard for me to see. But I started listening. I started hearing people like Tara come in and share their story, and I'm like, I would have got high with her, you know, and she's got her shit together. So, like, what the fuck, what kind of excuse do I have, you know? And so that message was the biggest miracle that I, you know, heard. Like, I was in a real stuck-up place, like, I was in South Florida, and they were doing all this stuff, but everybody was quiet in the room, right, when she got done sharing. They were like, this motherfucker. And I was like, this motherfucker's amazing, you know, and I was the only one. I congratulated her after the meeting and said, hey, look, that was awesome, you know, I appreciate that. You know, most people wouldn't share stuff like that about themselves, you know, like how you did. And she got real honest and open and raw. And that was just so cool to me that, you know, it just gave me hope, and it let me know, like, I could do this, you know, I could definitely do this. And if there's people out there like her, that's who I'm looking for, you know. And so I went out and went to meetings. My first sponsor was in a young people's AA program. And, you know, I'm grateful for them because they helped me to see, like, we can have fun. You know, we can be around people my age that's not, you know, with the bullshit and daggum. They, you know, we go out to eat, and he'll let me come to his house, and dude would pick me up, you know. And he had, like, a year clean, had a nice car, had a good-looking girlfriend, had a home, job. Like, shit, sign me up, you know. That's, I'm good. That's, all this stuff sounds amazing, you know. And so, you know, down there, it was a different, though. You know, for me, like, you know, I'm grateful for them because they helped me to get to where I'm at now by allowing me to be comfortable and accepted. And so eventually I had to pick a program, right? It says one program. I had to pick one program. I had a sponsor. You know, my sponsor now is a new sponsor. I just picked up a new sponsor on my 11 days clean. But I got an NA sponsor. Actually, I had a couple AA sponsors first, right? Well, eventually I'm like, man, I kept listening to my counselor. He said, man, you are an NA guy. You might not know that and why, but you are an NA guy. And that kept ringing in my head. And so, you know, eventually I told this guy, man, what about going to this program? About doing this one? I'm going here. He said, you need to pick one. You need to pick one, and you need to work that one program and do everything that program has to offer. So, you know, that made sense to me. He said, you can't serve multiple, you know, programs. You got to pick one and do it. And so I took that suggestion, and I started listening, and I started going to meetings, and eventually I started working steps. I say eventually because it took me a year and a half to start working NA steps and become an NA member. You know, like, I would go to the meetings, I'll go to other meetings, I would do all that. I'll go to all the hangouts and all that kind of shit. But I was in between sponsors because one of my sponsors was kind of flaking and stuff. And I went home. I would come back to Alabama and I would visit, right? And I would come home and I wouldn't do shit. I'm not going, you know, I might go to one meeting. I'm not going to hanging out. I'm not doing shit. And I said, man, I've got to take this seriously. If I'm going to be living in Huntsville, Alabama, where I did all my damn dirt at, where I know all the people that use here, not one person did I know and was in recovery. Not one. And so I had to go, man, I got to do something. I want to come home, you know, and I want to be around my family. I had a two-year-old growing up. And so, you know, when I made that decision, I started working steps. Even without a sponsor, I said, you know, I'm finishing step one. And I did it. I finished the rest of the step in one night. And I went back and went back and surrendered. You know, I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do now. And I'm going to work in a program. I'm going to have an NA sponsor. I'm going to do NA service. And I'm going to do NA meetings. And that's it. That's all there is to it. You know, I know this is the solution. And so, you know, I accepted that. And I would just like to say, I just started finishing the steps real fast. It took me, when I had 5 years clean, I finally finished the steps and went over it. I sit on step 12 for a year finished before I would do it with my sponsor, because my sponsor was in Florida, you know. And so I would literally go to Florida to do step work, you know. But, man, it just, you know, from going to a jail cell with no hope to a program to a sober living to, you know, to back home and then get my own place, you know, and then, you know, buying a home and then buying another home and then, you know, starting businesses and having a family. You know, I got a beautiful wife that I've been with for a couple of years. So, you know, it makes me upset because, you know, like, that's some shit I never had. Like, that's the miracles in my life. Like, you know, I always wanted the shit I have now. You know, I wanted a family. I wanted to be loved, and I wanted to love people, and I wanted to have friends that mattered, and I've got all that. You know, like, my relationship with the God of my understanding has formulated through the step work, you know, through the traditions. Like, when I got 10 years clean, I worked the steps. I said, you know what, I've got to work the steps this year. And we worked all of them in a step study guide by the end of October. That's a lot, you know. That's a big job, and I got a lot through that. So I've got to do more now, you know. I've got, you know, this year, I just picked up 11 years clean. I'm working the traditions, you know. I got me a new sponsor because my sponsor's relapsed right now for whatever reason, which is weird to me, but I don't have to understand that. I got to know, you know what, I got to do this. You know, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep, making it happen. Like, one of the most, you know, a miracle for me recently, you know, is my father-in-law passing. And we were able to be there for him, you know what I mean? And whatever capacity that, you know, that we had, and it was fast, and it happened so short, you know, quickly. And, you know, just thinking about it, we were in the hospital, I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that he's comfortable. Every time I can do something for him, I'm trying to do it while I'm there, and just so, you know, telling him that we love him, and you know, making sure that he knows that we're good. And, you know, he was like, you know, thank you for taking care of my daughters, you know, my family. And, like, that was a big deal, you know, like, that was a big fucking deal, you know, to be able to be there and just, you know, be a part of that and to know, like, that, you know, that God's got me. That's what I know. The miracle is God's got me now, and God's got the people in my life, too. And so every time I see people work in a program like this, you know, they get the results. Like, that's the thing about NA. You do the work, you take the suggestions, you get the fucking results. You don't have to even think about that. I've seen it now. When you don't, and you're an addict, you don't get the results, and you get what the disease has to offer. You know, and that's some shit I don't want. You know, that's some shit I don't want. And so when I'm not in the, you know, when I'm not working an active program, that's what I get: diseased results. You know, when I'm working a program, I get recovery-related results, and I get, you know, to experience, you know, the miracles of God that works through the program. You know, it's a no-brainer for me. You know, I'm just telling people, I do a lot of H&I, and I was in the jail Wednesday night. I said, guys, I don't have to even think about this. I wouldn't dream of going back and getting high and having to sit back in here with y'all. Now I get to come through the door, push the button. They didn't even search me. We got bags of shit because it's literature, and we're going into the block, and I'm handing out meeting lists and literature. You know, the intro guys that got in mind addicts and stuff like that, we're giving that shit away to the inmates in the cells, you know. And so, you know, that's a miracle for me. Like, you know, when it's time to go, I'm like, all right, y'all, have a good night. You know, back to my wife, you know. And, you know, I'm like, y'all need to come on. Y'all just come on. Whenever you get free, just come on, you know, and let's go. And so, I've got two guys in my recovery house now that are from that same H&I meeting in Morgan County Jail that are getting their life back and, getting to see what this program has to offer. So, you know, if you don't see the miracles of the program, just stick around. All you got to do is be dumb enough to stay long enough to work a program and let it work for you. You know, like, this is, we don't have the patent on this stuff. You know, this thing has been laid out so well for so long that all you got to do is just do it. You know, read the literature, because the program's in the literature. you can hear a whole lot of lip service from me or anybody else in here, but if it's not backed up from what the literature says, if it's not based in spiritual principles, I'm calling bullshit, you know. Yeah. I'm calling bullshit. And so I'm grateful for that I've done that, so I know better, you know. Through this, I've been able to learn how to do better, you know. The miracles aren't just pray and let it happen, right? Like the prayers are pray, do the work, and let God make it work, you know. And so that's factual for me. Like, I just know, like, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen in my life. I know that if I keep doing the same thing, it's just going to get better, you know. And when it goes bad, I got something to stand on. I got a program to stand on, and I got a source of power that you know, that I never had before that can carry me through anything. So, you know, that's what I'm grateful for. That's the miracle of the program. You know, it's the simple message is this: complete abstinence and 12-step work. There's no secret. You know, so if you don't know how to do that, get with somebody after the meeting. And first, you know, foremost, get a sponsor and quit using. So, anyways, thanks for letting me share.
I'm still stuck. Let's circle up and close out.